Mark comes from Lansing Tab, and he's now principal lecturer at Roehampton University, and he's going to talk to us about competing ideas that Christians have to cope with.
I'm actually here quite shaken because I found myself not only agreeing but applauding a Tory, and I'm a dyed-in-the-wool socialist and a member of Michael Gove's blob. So but I think that actually makes a really good point, which is that actually what the world needs, and I hope you'd agree with this, Tim, is actually Christians engaging in politics on all sides. Because actually, if we were both from Parliament, we'd be here agreeing on the same platform around these issues from different political angles. And that can only be good. And if you are someone who sits in church and complains about the state of the world, then get involved at a small level. Schools need governors. If you're not happy with schools, be a governor. In other words, do something about it. And I don't want Christian ghettos. I hope the God Channel goes bust. Why do we have the God Channel? Why aren't Christians producing programs that are so good Channel 4 want to buy them? So let's get rid of the rubbish and let's engage and get in there with people where people are doing something about it. Anyway, that's nothing to do with what I've got to say, but I had to say that because I agree with him. Right. Right. Anyway, let's start with the Bible. I know, I have to make reference to the Bible. My wife told me I had to. She said, they already think you're unsound, so start with the Bible. Get that bit over and done with. This is a beating up verse, isn't it? Always be prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you. Oh my goodness, how to make a defence for the hope that is within you. And we say, yeah, you've got to do this. You've got to get out there and defend it. So we're just going to unpick a little bit about how we might make a defence and where we might make a defence. And of course, part of making a defence is knowing what you're fighting. And you know, there's loads and loads of beliefs around in the world today. The belief agenda is a big agenda. People are always talking about their beliefs. And how many times do you hear people go, yeah, well, do you know, it's what I believe, so there's nothing you can do about it. That's, you know, I can believe what I want. It's a free country. Yes, of course you can. Religions, proper, what I'm going to call proper religions. There's loads of them. I started to count and got bored at 550. Okay? And then if you start adding in the multitudinous denominations, do you know, when I get quite irritated when I hear people just having a pop at Islam. Because what particular branch of Islam do you mean? Because it's more than Sunni and Shia. Oh, nearly, Mark. It nearly came out of Sunni and Shia, and that would have been your fault. Okay? There's just so many recognized religions and so many branches of different religions. People of faith are remarkably good at falling out with each other. I was highly amused when and this might not amuse you, but it amused me, so you'll probably learn more about me than yourselves now. I was highly amused when researching this to discover that within Satanism there are denominations, and they don't talk to each other. And there is even a branch of Satanism called the Atheist Satanists, who have ceremonies and worship but don't believe in Satan. I've got this mental picture of Satan in hell going, guys, when I set this up, you're supposed to believe in me. How very strange. We're awfully good at splitting up. And I was even more amused to discover that there is something called the New Druids. The New Druids are an American sect which are now recognized as a proper religion. They started as a practical joke to avoid going to religious services within an American university. And it started in the 60s as a joke, and it has now got a creed and it has a hierarchy. Aren't we good at building these structures? And it's there and it's a recognized religion. And as for this lot, okay, these are the universe people. They're very big in Czechoslovakia. Okay? Right. They believe that circulating the world are 10 spacecraft, and they're going to rescue us.
Isn't that true?
There's a vacancy for pastor at the if anybody would care to apply.
I thought it was 12. With the apostles.
And look at these aliens. You know, these weird sort of space cults, they always portray the aliens as sort of slightly sexy. You know, if they landed and went, hop onto my spaceship, I'd be there. Like you know, it can't be bad. And by the way, it's led by a bloke called Bender. I'll just throw that in. If anybody watches Futurama, then you'll know what I'm getting at. If you don't watch Futurama and you're easily offended, don't. Okay? So we've got a whole plethora of religious belief of various sorts. But I think there's something different going on. And I'm the pub is not my church, I promise you. Although, hey, not a bad idea. You see, if there's a gap in knowledge, people fill it. Now, from my world, I teach something called social constructivism. Now, you don't need to worry about that, but what that basically means is that people are constantly looking for explanations. And where there is no explanation, they make one. And they form their own explanations, they form their own worldview, and they cling to it. And when I am training teachers to teach children, I'm saying to them, look, you've got to find out what children believe about anything before you can start for them to learn. Because they will cling to that belief. The absolute classic. Those of you with children or grandchildren might have seen this as a worksheet. If you put a coat on a snowman, does it melt faster or slower? If you ask a 5 or 6 year old that, they invariably say, it will melt faster because the coat is making it warm. You think about where they've got that from. Put your coat on, it'll warm you up. Keep warm, put your coat on. And the children absorb this and it becomes a belief. And they absolutely cling to it. Now, because they like their teachers, they'll fill in the right answer. But when you actually talk to them afterwards, from a psychological point of view, and try and probe what they really mean, they've clinging to that belief. They don't actually believe you. They've clung to their belief. So I took this idea and I went down to our theology department and I talked to some of the theologians and they went, yes, people talk nonsense all the time, but they believe it. Think about things you hear people say, often in tragic circumstances. Mummy's died. She's a star now. That star is Mummy. You hear people say it. They've become an angel. Everybody goes to heaven, including our puppy. There's all sorts of things that we may well disagree with. And they're made up explanations. And we know that there is something inside human beings that will cling to those beliefs. The knowledge gap is filled. And we fill it because we always need to explain our world. So, what can we do? People are making it up as they go along. And we know that they're going to cling to it. So how do we deal with it? Because that's the difficult bit. Because, of course, that's where we get the, well, I can believe what I like. It's a free country. Yeah, of course you can. You can believe the moon's made of cheese if you like. But really, it's very hard to engage with somebody who's taking that view. So how do we do that? And I just want to briefly think about that. But before I say that, there are some things that are working against us. One is the history of the Christian church. It ain't that glorious, people. We've been pretty good at burning folks and doing... Actually, if you read that book, it's a brilliant book. It's very, very readable. It's the whole history of the Christian church in about 400 pages. Very, very well written, very witty. But pointing out, actually, in my view, the miracle is that we're still here. We've got things in our past that we have to put our hands up and say, you know what, we're not awfully proud of that. But you know what? We've been here for 2,000 years. Okay, and look at what we're doing now. And a lot of the time we're doing good. So we've got our own history, which does work against us a little bit. And then we've got idiots. The church is very tolerant. And we get people who pop up every now and again, like certain members of UKIP, who say that those poor people that needed to be rescued by the fire service, the ambulance service, the Royal Marines, a couple of princes, from some floods because we didn't look after the rivers properly in Somerset, was God's judgment. I'll give you the answer to that. What did that kid do that deserved that? It's not God. That is because we don't know how to look after rivers. That is man's evil. So, what is belief? As in all things, when I'm trying to explain something, I went to the Catholic Church, and this is from the Catholic Creed. Okay, because they often have got things incredibly well explained, and I often find that quite agree with them, actually. Right, I quite like this, the nature of belief. Because I think belief isn't just saying, I subscribe to a certain set of facts. That's not belief. Belief is what actually gets me here and gets me committed to it. That's what I want as belief. Something that I absolutely know to be true in my heart and engage with my emotions. So the Catholic Church will say that belief is actually made up of emotion, knowledge, and authority. Okay? So we have to feel it's true. We have to know some things about it. And we have to have some authority, which might be a book, it might be a person, it might be somebody we respect, someone we can refer to, or an organization we can refer to. So, I then started to think about, what do I truly believe? Okay, what is it that I would go to the gallows over? And I've come to the conclusion, the one thing I truly believe, and absolutely believe, is that Sean Connery was the best James Bond ever. Good, there you go. Hey, or should that have been amen? Anyway, right. So, the emotion is I enjoy his performances the best. Okay, I've seen the knowledge is that I've seen all of the James Bond films, and the authority is the Guardian film critic who agrees with me. Okay, so there we go. There's a simple argument that establishes belief that I will go to the gallows on that Sean Connery is the best James Bond, but actually, I know in whom I have believed. And it's really, really important that actually we do some thinking about our belief. Because if we're going to engage with people, we've got to feel our belief, we've got to know our belief, and we've got to understand the authority for our belief. Then we can start to engage with people. I believe that Jesus is my saviour because I feel it. The church fellowship experiences it. And I've benefited from some wonderful Christian teachers and some wonderful Christian leaders. I believe that God loves me. I believe the resurrection happened. I believe in redemption. I believe in restoration. And I believe in the kingdom of God. I also believe that Genesis chapter 1 and 2 are poetry, that we should lose the monarchy, and no Christian can possibly vote UKIP. And I can absolutely believe that. And the minute that man said that we're going to cut overseas aid, any thought I had, which I hadn't anyway, had gone, because let's institutionalise our selfishness, which is what they're asking for. So let's go back to our pub and our people talking, and we're talking to friends and they're saying what they believe, and they're not Christians, and they believe that when you die you become a star or a parrot or you disappear into the inner cosmos. Okay, ask them some questions. You're free to ask questions. It's part of gentleness. Sometimes you ask them nicely. What's your feeling about this? What do you know that makes you believe this? Who else? Where are you getting your authority from? Who else believes this that you respect? Very importantly, of course, just when you go back to what I was saying about children, correct factual errors. Because people are largely unchurched, there's a huge mythology around what I believe. And I'm told all sorts of things that apparently I believe, which I don't. But apparently that I'm not allowed to buy anything on a Sunday. Well, actually, yes, I can and I do. And actually, thank God for the co-op, or we wouldn't eat some Sundays. Correct the factual errors. Tell your story. Live the life. And we can never justify the unjustifiable. There have been a lot of horrible stories about things that Christian leaders have done, particularly towards children. That can never be justified, ever. And actually, one of the reasons that I get genuinely angry about them is that not only have they let down everything they believe in, they've let down everything I believe in, but they have damaged those things that are most precious to God, which are the children. So I get very cross about that. We can't justify that, and we have to say, hey, that is wrong. And we have to have total honesty. I've been a Christian for many years. There are a huge amount of things that I'm not sure about. I struggle to believe in that inner emotional way many things. I wonder about the nature of heaven. I would like to believe in universalism. I'm not at all sure about cessationism and all those other Christian documents. But actually, sorry, I said documents, I meant doctrines. There we go. It's these teeth, I'm breaking them in for the dog. Right, so it doesn't matter that there are things we're not sure about. It doesn't matter. I mean, we can be very honest about this and say, there are things I'm not sure about. By the way, if any of you come and try and minister to me afterwards and tell me how I can clear up my thinking, I will tell you where to go and it will end with off. Because I am actually very happy with my lack of knowledge and lack of belief in some areas. And I will get there and I will have a belief. I was wandering around Oxford University a couple of weeks ago and I saw a wonderful T-shirt. Okay. Which said, just because I'm wandering doesn't mean I'm lost. Okay? And I'm very happy with my wandering, and I enjoy it, and I am exploring, I am still exploring faith, I am still exploring God. So, getting people converted is not our problem. Okay? Our problem is to build the kingdom of God. That means working for justice, fairness, equality, feeding the hungry, solving people's debt problems, running the food bank. That's building the kingdom of God. Leave the business of saving souls to God. We've got our hands full building the kingdom. So when we talk with our friends and we are in the pub having that conversation, and they are saying extraordinary things that you find absolutely unbelievable that anybody with half a brain could believe, then with gentleness, question, share, understand where they're coming from. They're filling a gap. There is a gap in their knowledge, along with the gap in their lives. Help them through that gap and be honest about what you believe in your heart and those things you're still wondering about. Thank you.
I have to be his pastor. What do they say? The thing about an open mind is an open mind is like an open mouth. You need to close it on something solid. The good thing about Mark is that he does have an open mind, but that he does close it on something solid. So we praise God for that, and that's my ongoing project. Well, now, what did you say? If we didn't like you, we'd call you Carl.
Yes.
But he did say if we liked him, we'd put a Y on the end of his name, and I'm going to call him Carly. Which reminds me of that song, You're So Vain. I think it was probably Beachy, wasn't it, you meant? But anyway, Carl is going to come and finally wrap up our time.
Thank you.
Well, I travel the country speaking in venues large and small, and I've been kicked out of better places than this, so to say. we've heard a lot of words, and there's some, I think, some very engaging stuff came out there. I just loved hearing what Tim said there as well. Steve and I were just chewing at the back. It's just great to hear people in politics really engaging with this stuff. It just gives you great hope, doesn't it? I think I don't really want to add too much. I don't want us to be sitting here hearing lots of words. So I'm just going to close with this. Some of you might have heard me say this once or twice in the past, but I've been to India many times. You know, I travel a lot. I've been to India many times, and on one of the occasions I was there, I was ministering in a slum area. And, I mean, slum areas are, they truly are what they're described as. You know, when you, it's hard to actually explain true poverty unless you touch it and you smell it and you see it. I mean, it's bad, you know. And in one of these areas where I was speaking, you make an appeal for prayer at the end. And it's not like the British Reserve thing where we don't really need prayer because we can go to Boots the Chemist or Superdrug and, you know, it's going to be fine, we can go to the GP. You make an appeal for prayer at the end of a talk in a slum area and everyone comes forward because they've got nothing. And this big crowd of people sort of surged forward. It was like a tin-constructed building, about 200 people in it, a hot day. And they're all crowding. And a woman came through the crowd. And All I can say is she was, you know, I've only got eyes for my wife, but she was a beautiful woman. I mean, she was mesmerisingly beautiful. And sort of came forward. People moved out of her way a little bit. There's a stage area, so I was standing there with my interpreter, a friend of mine called Prem, I've known for years. And I said to Prem, could you ask her what she wants prayer for? Because they speak Telugu in Andhra Pradesh. Many people haven't heard of Telugu, but there's more people who speak Telugu than live in the UK. That's how big the country is. And he just said to me, Pastor, he said, can't you see? I went, no. Can you ask her what she wants prayer for? He said, Carl, don't embarrass me. Could you just look and pray? And I said, no. Could you ask what she wants prayer for? So a little bit of a Romford standoff going on, you know, in Andhra Pradesh. And it was a bizarre moment. And it's informed my work, really, you know, in all the stuff we do in men and the tackling of trafficking and violence against women and all the stuff we've done as a movement around the world. Because when I looked again, half her face was ravaged, really, by a skin disease. She had a really, really badly scarred face. And her right arm was like a little twig where she had polio or some kind of withering disease in her arm. But when she had come forward to the front, she looked beautiful. Now, this seems a bit bizarre, but it had a massive impact on my life, because I'm standing there, I'm looking at this woman, and I'm thinking, I can't match up what I saw when she came forward, I'm sure it's the same person, to what I'm seeing now. And I said to God, this is one of the few burning bush moments in my life. I mean, Moses had one, so I'm privileged to have had one burning bush moment. I said to God, what is this? And a kind of whisper in my heart, really, in my soul, said to me, I just let you see this woman the way I see her all the time. She's beautiful to me. And it shipwrecked me, to be honest. And I could barely get a prayer out. We've done a lot of talking today. Heard a lot of stuff. Heard a lot of opinions. We talked about staying on a narrow path earlier in the day. We talked about resisting the temptations that take us into the broad road that leads us to destruction. We talked about testosterone. We heard about political engagement. We talked about the whole theatre of ideas. We looked at Christians against poverty. We've heard a lot of stuff. But wouldn't it be amazing, at the heart of all that, in our pursuit of Jesus Christ, thinking back to the Romans 12 passage you read at the start, wouldn't it be amazing if we could see all people the way that God sees them? Amen. Wouldn't that change everything? The way you treat your neighbour, the way you treat the person who's parked on your driveway, you know, the way you treat that alternative politician with the political ideas you hate, even someone from UKIP. But wouldn't that be amazing if we could treat all people with dignity? That would lead a countercultural revolution, I believe. I think that's a great challenge. So why don't we stand together and we'll pray and ask God to touch our hearts, that we'd see people the way that God sees us. I don't know if you've got any, have you got the worship guys going to come up and do a gig for us? Let's pray. Why don't we just stand quietly for a moment, and just a moment of just space where we can absorb everything we heard today. I heard a lot of words, a lot of ideas. And Holy Spirit, we pray that you would help us to shape our lives through the ideas that we've heard as we seek to follow you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would transform us day by day more into the likeness of your Son. Help us to stay on a narrow path. Help us to be men of grace, strong grace, whose testosterone is harnessed, so that we become the men we know we ought to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Over to you guys. We'll stay standing and the guys will lead us. And let's give a thank you as they come up to the guys at Lansing Tabernacle for putting on today, and a jacket potato and a bit of ham. And let's give them a thank you.